Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
Welcome everyone, and I hope you have had an incredible week as I have had. Hope that you had a chance to see what was going on in Florida this past week and the rally that it is so wonderful to see so many groups represented in Florida that all came together for one reason, to support our governor and what he was doing. And for those of you that don't know, this was a special session that is being called, that has been called, so that the discussion can be on the illegal, unconstitutional mandates and how Governor DeSantis is opposed and has said that no business can hold any of its employee or actually a retail business can't keep people out if they don't wear a mask. And that mask mandates will not be allowed in Florida. And this was to support that. In addition to that, this was to support the Parents' Bill of Rights. And that's one that we're going to go and talk about in the next section of the show, because on the one hand, I felt really proud that Florida did the Parents' Bill of Rights, but how sad is it that we have to say that parents have rights to raise their children? And that I find very sad. Well, folks, you're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education. And I hope that you learn things from these podcasts that I am doing on this show, because it is a pleasure to do this. But my goal, of course, as a former teacher, is to teach, to educate, to give you an understanding of what's going on and how everything that we're doing has been done before. Remember what they say, there's nothing new under the sun. So if we look back in history, we would see that there's nothing new under the sun, because if we picked up the Nazi playbook, the communist Chinese playbook, it doesn't really matter which playbook it is. It all has the same exact identical procedure to get there. And in the end, the goal is always to destroy the host. I have a wonderful friend, Fred Brownville, who I was privileged to be with when he was working in the Save America Foundation. And he is back again and has an incredible blog, which I will let him talk about, and has incredible comments on what's happening today. But Fred, I believe this is just, we're hitting the replay button. And we're just going through what all the other communist takeover regimes tried. What do you think?
Thank you for having me on here. They definitely are working on it, but to be quite honest with you, but I have a funny feeling that they are going to fail. I think America is coming together, and I think the fight has started. And I'm actually far more positive today than I was 6 months ago.
That's good news. I love to hear that. And that means that Americans are getting engaged. They're actually understanding what we are fighting against. I think the catalyst had a lot to do with what's going on in education. When they went after the kids and the parents realized it, that was when everybody seemed to come together. What do you think about that, Fred?
You know, you're right. I've said several times that all America needed was a spark, you know, like the young Chinese man in Tiananmen Square who stopped the tank. You know, he started a movement in Lech Walesa in Poland who started the Solidarity Movement and beat communism. I think the Virginia school district meetings were the spark that ignited the fury and a sudden deep understanding. You know, I think one of the things that good that came out the lockdown was that parents finally had to educate their kids, which meant that they had to look at what they were learning. Up to then, they had don't agree with any part of the lockdown whatsoever. I think it was totally unconstitutional and no government has a right to lock anybody down. Having said that, I think the one good thing that came out of it, people started to understand what their children were being taught was wrong. You know, the Virginia classroom debacle. I think, you know, where the father was arrested, etc., for the trying to defend his daughter who was raped by a pervert in the open classroom in Virginia, toilet policy that Virginia's education system had. I think that was the very spark that America needed, because from there, I've noticed a very positive attitude from a lot of the people I'm speaking to. So I believe that was the spark that is going to set this nation on fire. And then the other sparks that I have are people that are living, obviously, in the southern border areas, understand the depth of the problem we have as regards illegal immigration. And everyone in America that goes to a gas pump or a food store or Home Depot or any other store is feeling the pinch and understands, you know, that the policies are not working, which would result in why, you know, Joe Biden, especially his laughing hyena Kamala Harris, have such low ratings.
And I think those ratings are too high. I think they're probably inflated.
Oh, I'd love to speak to the 30-odd% that think he's doing a great job.
Yes. I, you know, if you were the ones that got everything paid for by the government and you lived in Section 8 housing, and nothing against the people that actually need it, but you weren't one of these needy people, then you would think this was going in the right direction.
But so, you know what? All those people are still going to become victims of the hyperinflation, which we have here. Their food stamps are only going to buy a certain amount of food. Rents are going to increase, whether they be Section 8 or not. Hyperinflation is going to hurt every single person in this country. And even those that are unlucky enough to be on welfare are going to be running short.
Yes, to see them, and by them, I mean the regime, laugh, think that what's going on is funny, gives you a little clue as to how they feel about Americans. They don't care.
They treat us with total contempt. You know, there's only one opinion and that's theirs. And if you disagree, you're a moron. Yeah, but they're finding that that sort of attack on us is not working like it was, say, a year ago. I think that, you know, that the race card and all the rest of these cards have just been played too many times. And people are beginning to see that. And they definitely are beginning to understand that every single person in this country is now definitely one way or another being totally affected by the absolute insane economic policies and all the other policies that this government is. When I say government, I'm talking a legal regime of the dictatorship under Biden.
Right. The dictatorship from baby killer Biden, that bill that they passed, I think it just passed the House. And the bill that I'm talking about is the bill where you can have an abortion until the day before the child is born. That is a baby.
All abortions are killing babies.
Yes, you're right.
In reality, when you look at the number of Christians and religious people calling themselves Christian or religion in this country, this last election should have been the one issue election. Abortion should have been the huge play. But, you know, when you've got the Catholic Church allowing and encouraging baby killers like Biden and the rest of them who call themselves Catholics, you know, to take communion, to have the sacraments, it just shows really how the depths to which the Catholic Church in particular has sunk under this Marxist, they call a pope.
He is the worst, but of course he lines right up with the same ideology, is what I think is what is allowing Catholics to just be guided into something that is so foreign. I mean, the Catholics were all about abstinence. And they wouldn't even discuss birth control. Now they're saying, oh, it's okay, go kill your kid just before it's born so that we can sell your baby parts.
Well, you know what? I think the run-of-the-mill Catholic, the average Catholic goes to church and supports the church every Sunday, don't think like that.
I hope not.
And I think by the declining numbers in that church, I think that shows that. My wife and myself were both Catholic. I was born born Catholic, Catholic school, educated, boarding school, the whole thing. I started falling out of love with the church, to be honest with you, in the early 70s when I was in the Rhodesia military fighting and the Catholic Church was supporting the enemy of our country, the communist guerrillas. From then on, it made me really start to think about my faith and the church. And from those days, I started pulling away from the church.
I can understand that.
The hypocrisy is the hypocrisy is mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing. One of the problems in America is that too many people have turned away from mainstream religion or religion in period. I believe that America needs to return to God and needs to do it now. And there are a lot of churches out there that are actually preaching the word. You know, I found one in Tampa, which is absolutely amazing. Independent Baptist, the pastor is a veteran, Air Force veteran, born in Panama. He preaches the Bible as it should be preached, and he is as conservative as you want. I mean, he talks about one world nation. He talks about abortion. He talks about all the evils of the Democrat policies. These are the churches that people have to research and find and go to, because if they do and they can go back to God, I think, you know, a lot of good will come to this country, including, you know, return of morals, ethics, and how to raise a family. Yep, stay away from these mega churches that are just money making, you know, where your pastor's driving around in a Rolls Royce. My guy can barely make ends meet. You know, he preaches the word because that's his calling.
And those are the people that you want to be with. I don't know how many people turned away maybe from the physical structure of the church, but I never turned away from God. I still believe in God. That had my going to temple or not going to temple had nothing to do with my relationship with the way I felt about God. It just was so hypocritical that I couldn't stand it after a while. Mm-hmm. It was overwhelmingly hypocritical. And, you know, when your faith is when who you believe in turns out to be a liar who stabs you in the back, you take a pause. Is that what people are really all about? And I think until we understand who our enemy is and what these people intend to do and face that hard reality, we're going to come together. And I agree with you. But I think we all have to come together to face the common enemy, which is the dictatorial regime that has usurped the White House.
And right. And I believe we're doing that. I believe in 2022, they're going to be routed. And in 2024, they're going to be demolished.
I'm going to hold you to that, Fred, because that's the best news I've heard.
I firmly believe that the amount of buyer's remorse among those that legally voted for Biden, the buyer's remorse is absolutely massive with them just because they hated Trump or his hair or his tweets. I mean, that truthfully, that vote was just anti-Trump's personality. I mean, you know, I'm talking about the people actually voted, not the dead ones. The live ones that legally voted against Trump, the independents that voted against him, it was a personal attack on his personality, not necessarily against what he did. And I think that they've all learned a very good lesson. And I believe, and the Democrats understand that. I mean, they're running scared right now, trying to get everything they can pass because they know come the next election midterms, they're not going to get anything else passed. And then in 24, they're going to lose the House, the Senate, and everything else.
Some of those bills, the one that they just passed just now, the infrastructure bill, a lot of it, I was told, the programs don't start until 2023.
Correct. So and some of that.
Can we stop that from being funded?
I believe that if we can't stop it directly from being funded, I believe they'll be able to stop the funds being dispersed. And then in 2024, it can be maybe unwound or parts of it unwound.
Like repealed, like Obamacare should have been.
Right. Okay. And, you know, I think that, you know, truthfully, the Biden administration has done so much damage so quickly. And I know exactly how they did it. I mean, let's be honest, they were absolutely blown away when Trump won. They were totally 120% convinced Clinton was going to win the election. And when she didn't, they went straight to work. And let's be honest, they're pretty good at this. They went straight to work at making sure that the next election, by hook or by crook, went their way, regardless of who was on the ticket. It didn't matter as long as there was a D. And they prepared for 4 years all the things that they wanted to do, which was to get rid of everything Trump did and then put in all their agenda. And they hit the ground running. You know, they had everything organized. And, you know, let's be honest, I mean, there's some lessons to be learned by how organized they were on the attacks on this country.
Yes, they were incredibly organized. And that I always felt was our failing. They really, truly believe in community organizing. And they were incredible at it. They are masters of it. And they studied some of the best marketing people in the world. And they got trained by Bernays and other incredible marketeers that would, they knew it. And that's exactly right. How it won. And I always said that if you're going to beat somebody like this, you should take their plan because they already have proven that it works and just change the outcome.
You've got to get in the trenches with them.
You got to get out of No, and they don't fight nicely at all.
But you know, the biggest problem with the GOP is that you a good 30, 35% of them are totally untrustworthy. You know, so we've got a lot of cleaning house to do, and I'm hoping 22, 24 see some of that. I hope people like Murkowski get blown out the water. These people, these 13 Republicans that gave Biden this huge win with the bill he just signed in today, the $1.2 trillion bill he just signed in. He's probably forgotten he signed it by now, but he did sign it. Those 13 Republicans, if any of them get reelected, shame on the GOP.
And as you just said that, I just read an article that Rick Scott is endorsing Lisa Murkowski.
Rick Scott is a snake.
Rick Scott is a huge snake, folks. If you live in, even if you don't live in Florida, call Rick Scott's office and tell him, no, you will never vote for him again. And his presidential desires are now going to be in the toilet bowl where they belong.
Him and Rubio are both snakes, neither trustworthy. Both of them are rhinos. You know, they probably just a slightly, they're centrist. And for some reason, I don't know why anyone would want to support that woman. But like you say, I think he's not doing himself any good for his long-term political career. Rick Scott, I'm talking about.
Rick Scott, I could not agree more. So folks, go to contactmypolitician.com, put in Rick Scott's name and anybody else that you feel like putting their names in, and say that if any of these people, if Lisa Murkowski is supported or any of the other 13, then they can kiss their careers goodbye because we're not playing anymore. There is no more playing.
The problem is the GOP themselves are supporting these people.
Stop giving money to the GOP. I always say that. I'm going to say it again. Stop.
The biggest problem you've got is, you know, if you're not giving to the GOP, who are you going to give to?
You're going to give to the candidate of your choice, the one that you think is going to be the best. Give to their campaign.
Right.
Give to fund.
When you do that, truthfully, without the huge political machine behind them, it's an uphill battle, totally uphill battle.
Yes, except I will go back to the wonderful election that happened in New Jersey, where the truck driver spent $153 on his campaign and won.
And that was absolute. I mean, that was phenomenal. But you know, the chance, I don't know how often that can happen, truthfully. I think that the problem we have is that the country is at a crossroads and we don't have time to try different things. What we have to do is we have to remove the power that the Democrats have in 2022. And then we have 2 years to find the right candidates in 2024. But right now, we don't have time to play games. We've got to concentrate on getting these Democrats out. If we have to work within the framework that the GOP has, then we have to do that. But we need to put them on notice that this is a one-time thing. It's just, you know, I mean, I was all behind the thought of Trump starting a third party, the Patriot Party or something like that. But you know what? The amount of money you would need to have to start a party like that to compete against the huge political money-making machine of the other two parties almost makes it a loser from the beginning.
Yes, you're right.
So we have to fix the GOP from the inside. But you know, we're kind of up against it right now. We're running out of time. It's not too long before next year in the election. You know, it's less than a year. So we haven't got time to make huge changes to the GOP, but we certainly can be getting onto all these rhinos and letting them know that we're not supporting them and we're not going to be paying for them.
That is the key, folks. It's the money. It's always about the money. And going along with what Fred said, my question to you, my wonderful audience, is have you joined your precinct yet? Are you a member? You can't win anything if you don't play the game. And if you don't get involved, then you can't be upset when you're losing something, because sitting and yelling at your radio or your computer is not going to make a bit of difference. You have to move. You have to do something. You have to work at it. You don't get there by sitting around and doing nothing and think it's going to magically happen. It doesn't work that way. So you have to get involved. And one of the ways to do that, if you're interested in schools, go to the school board meetings. If you're interested in your county, always go to your county meetings, your city meetings, and find out what they intend to do to you. Because if we get one of these NGO conservative groups come in, they'll want to buy up all our land. So we have to pay attention because we have something that they want, and that's everything. Whatever we have, they want. They don't want us to have anything. Look at the lockdown that is going on in Australia from the unvaxxed. They won't let them do anything. They want to quarantine them. Is that forever?
Well, they just opened, I mean, today in Austria, all unvaccinated people from this morning are totally locked down, unable to move.
It's Austria, yes, you're correct. Yeah. And
I mean, Australia and New Zealand both had extreme lockdowns. You know, I mean, they were extreme. When they had one case, they locked the whole country down. I mean, the insanity and the weakness and cowardice of the people blows my mind. I mean, in a country like Australia, where you always think of the Australian male as rugged and tough, they're obviously not, because they surrendered their guns and they surrendered their freedom, their liberty and everything to a dictator. But, you know, even more embarrassing for me is that Americans did the same thing.
Yeah, the only thing we haven't done, folks, are those guns. And believe me, they want them. They want them. And I believe our wonderful UN, whatever he is, liaison, has signed us back into the UN Small Arms Treaty.
Right.
How exciting is that going to be?
That is all stuff that can be fixed,
yes.
You know, down the road. Yeah, I'm not particularly worried about that. And I don't think we're ever going to have a situation where our arms are taken away. Number one, there are 1 billion firearms and private arms and private hands in this country, and tens of billions of rounds of ammunition. It's not something that they can just take tomorrow. You know, what people have to learn is that they have to stand up. My wife and I did not mask, did not social distance, did not stay home. We refused. I mean, I did not immigrate legally to this country to become a slave. And I'm not going to walk the one way up Publix because they told me with arrows on the floor which way I could walk. I was the a-hole that walked the wrong way up and down Publix without a mask. Wasn't going to happen. You know, my wife was exactly the same. We both made a decision, you know, on the vaccination, we made a decision. And on the masking, the staying at home, we didn't stay home one day. You know, people have got to stand up. They've got to stand up, because every liberty that we have lost, every freedom we have lost, every constitutional right that we have lost, we've given away. That's why we lost them. We gave them away without a fight.
And if you remember from the song, you don't really know what you've got till it's gone.
And they never get it back.
And you don't get it back. And that is something that we have to pay very strict attention to, because there was a reason why we did not give up our freedom for security. Think about that. How much are you willing to give up so that somebody you have no idea who they are, they could care less about you, but they are going to control your life and tell you what to do and what you can eat and where you can go and what time you can go there and how much you can have?
And let's be honest, this started with the Patriot Act.
Yes. Absolutely.
You know, the Patriot Act showed them what they could and couldn't do. And they're just pushing the boundaries now. And they've learned that they can tell people what to wear on their faces. They can tell people they shut your business down. They can tell people to lock themselves behind closed doors. They can tell people no Thanksgiving this year, no travel. They're pushing that wall out all the time. And every single day we're losing more freedoms and liberty. And it's just time. People have got to stand and draw that line in their sand, that imaginary red line that they Obama used to like to talk about. But, you know, we don't cross it where he did.
No, we don't. I believe that we are now living Obama's utopian third term, because he is definitely there helping the strings be pulled.
And Obama and Obama and Valerie Jarrett, I think, are the two movers and groovers going behind you. But, you know, they're also puppets.
Yes.
You know, they're being led by others. But this is definitely Obama's third term. He's trying to get done what he thought he would get done in his second term when he won in, you know, the election. But obviously we took control of the House and stopped him.
Right.
Now he's finishing it.
And remember what he said. He didn't like America. He went around and apologized for America. America was not high on his priority list, and that's why we're seeing what we're seeing today.
Well, that comes from a man who's more testosterone challenged than his wife.
You're absolutely right. And you are absolutely right. And on that note, Fred, tell everyone where they can find you and fabulous blogs that you write.
Well, I put one out every day. You can find it on Fred Brownbill, all lowercase. That's FredBrownbill, FredBrownbill.wordpress.com. And that'll take you to the front page. And there's hundreds of blogs in there. You know, start from the top. You can hit the follow button and it'll be sent automatically to your mailbox. There's one a day. I don't give anyone's information or sell anyone's information. I make no money from this blog. I don't sell advertising, anything like that in there. It's just pure, unpolitically correct language that everyone should be speaking. You know, I'm a patriot. I love this country more than life itself. And we'll do anything to try and save it. And, you know, I'm permanently purged off every form of social media you can think of. So the blog is the only way I can get my word out, apart from different activities that my wife and I choose to get involved in. Like, I think Saturday, 4th or 5th of December, whatever day that is, it's a Saturday, there's a Trump rally protest in Clearwater at the courthouse. We'll be going to that. You know, we do what we can that way. But, you know, my word is out every day. It's not politically correct. Some people are offended. You know, I get threats from it. But you know what? Bring it on.
Absolutely. Folks, this is why it is so important that each of us participate and do our part. There isn't anybody that can't do something. You have an opinion. You have knowledge. You may have knowledge that nobody else has. There's no reason why you can't share that knowledge. There's no reason why you can't share your opinion. And for those of you that are looking for a new, everybody should be looking for alternatives, social media platforms, and get off of Twitter and Facebook and stop allowing them to make money from you and stop using their stuff. If we don't stop, then they will continue. It's up to us. Mm-hmm. So I have joined Getter, and maybe Fred, you can do that too. And it seems to be a place where we can go and nobody is going to shut us off.
I'm on Getter and also belong on Signal, which is a very secure site. But they really, unfortunately, just don't have the range that Facebook has, you know what I mean? In total volume of people who can actually see your things. And I don't think they're necessarily going to grow because I don't know. Americans just seem to be obsessed with Facebook. No, there shouldn't be any conservative on Facebook at all. I mean, there should not be any conservative. They should all take their business elsewhere.
And I agree with you on that one. Well, Fred, I want to thank you, and I appreciate, as always, our wonderful talk. It is always good to hear from other people that have similar ideas, but look at things differently. That's the idea of America, folks. That's what America is all about. You're listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com. HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyone. And this is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. And you can find them at goflca.com. The Alliance has been doing some amazing things, folks. And I'm going to share that with you. But before I go any further, I am just like really irked right now that if one more person tells me, oh, Karen, you have to vote for him because he'll win, even though he's not a good candidate, even though he votes against you, and I am talking about having to vote for Marco Rubio. This is absolutely making my blood boil, because will we forget that he was on the Gang of Eight that promotes amnesty? Are we to forget that he signed the red flag laws and he promotes gun control for, quote, mentally disturbed people? Well, if you have a DOJ that says you're a domestic terrorist, what's the difference of them saying all those people that are domestic terrorists are mentally disturbed? That's not going to change. Folks, we all know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And we should remember everything is connected. There is no thing as a coincidence or anything happening at random. Everything has a plan, and all plans are based on lies. Because if they actually had a solution and solved the problem, guess what? We wouldn't need them anymore. And that is what they are afraid of. So instead of throwing water on the fire, they are throwing gasoline on the fire. And nothing is more evident of that than what's going on with poor Kyle Rittenhouse and the, the gentleman who was just sentenced for 41 months in jail for going into the people's house and taking pictures. 41 months. They are trying to intimidate us. And the only thing that can bring us together is if we are unified and we work together, because together Americans are the greatest force in the world. And I was so happy to see this past week the rally in Tallahassee. And again, yes, I am talking about Florida, but we went there to support our governor. And how often that does not happen. We go and we yell at them when they do something stupid, like Rick Scott, who was now endorsing Lisa Murkowski. So a phone call to him, folks, and I'll give you his number later on. But a phone call to him to tell him you'll never vote for him again if he supports that woman. I can't even say she's a Republican. But at any rate, the rally was wonderful. And it was so good to see. The thing that I felt was the best was that there were not only gray-haired people from the Tea Party, but there were young people, old people, all different color people, all different minority groups. And you know what? Nobody was wearing a mask, and people actually talked to each other. And we were blessed to have Pastor Rick open the rally. And I thought that was wonderful. So I asked him if he would come and join us. And Pastor Rick, what was your take of the rally this week?
Well, there's a lot of things about that rally. I think of a lot of things. One of the things that it was really a beautiful day in Florida. And we often talk about the weather in Florida, and it was a sunny day, and it was warm. I guess the day before in Tallahassee had not been sunny and warm like that, from what I was told. But it was a beautiful day weather-wise. But it was a beautiful day because the people were there, and the people were speaking out, standing up for what they believed in. And, you know, you said it well, there's a beauty to those people gathering, all ages, well-represented mix of people. And by the way, I should say about the age thing to all of the people that think you're too old to be involved, that's just baloney. C.S. Lewis called that chronological snobbery, when people want to tell you you're too old to participate. No, don't buy that at all. But there were a lot of people there. I was amazed at all the people that I saw. I really didn't know who would be there. I know John Stemberger, the man that arranged it, in his organization. I've supported them before. They've worked with us in the past, so it wasn't hard to support what they were doing. But I was genuinely amazed at all of the people that I saw there that we have worked together with on one thing or another. There was the young lady that worked real hard for a long time on the Parents' Bill of Rights, mm-hmm. and she was there. There was another guy that we have worked with also almost since the beginning of our work in Tallahassee. He was there. Hadn't seen him in a long time, several years. There was a gentleman from Southwest Florida. People might know the name Alfie Oaks because his store Seed to Table has made some national news because he remained open in spite of all of the lockdown hysteria. And he's done very well. He hasn't had problems with his employees or any illnesses. It's just remarkable. But he took time to come to Tallahassee, and there were hundreds of people there. And the thing that I was thinking about this, how easy is it to get hundreds of people to Tallahassee to stand up at a rally and to speak out about what they believe in? I don't know if everybody realizes, but those of us who live in Florida, for many of us, Tallahassee is a long way away.
Yes.
For Keith Flaw, the other guy that runs the Florida Citizens Alliance with me, it's a 7.5-hour drive for him to go to Tallahassee. I'm 2 hours closer, but it's still 5.5 hours. That's just driving time. And people from all over Florida rallied in Tallahassee because they believe strongly that liberty matters, and that they wanted to speak up and let the legislature know that it matters to them, and they expect the legislature to do the right thing and to protect our freedoms. I thought it was a beautiful day in Tallahassee. There's no question about it.
You know what else was nice? There was so many children there. And when they talked about how many of these parents were homeschooling, it was fantastic, because most of the kids that were there were homeschooled. And this was a lesson to them in civics of how their government works and what they can do as a citizen, and how you redress your government, and how you support those people that represent you, and how you also have to make them accountable for representing you. If they go to any of your state capital or federal capital or your county meetings and they say I, you should say next, because there is no I. They represent you. They represent us. They were elected by us to do what we want, not what they want. Who cares what they want? The idea is you get people in office who agree with you, and then you hold them accountable to vote the way they should. And I thought this was a wonderful lesson for the children to see how our government works. What do you think, Pastor?
Oh, I agree completely. I'm always glad to see the kids there. You know, we sometimes forget that children need exposure to these kinds of things. And when parents have that opportunity, that's just terrific. And that's a real benefit of homeschooling. As you well know, then parents can expose their children to other things because they can learn their lessons. There's plenty of time to do that. And this is just bonus time for them to come to a place like the capital of Florida and see people speaking out. And, you know, you said something very important that I think we should not run by too quickly. All of us are very quick to speak out when our representatives do things that we think are outrageous, and we should. I wouldn't diminish that or encourage people not to. When they do outrageous things, they need to hear from the voters that this is not acceptable, and we expect them to fix that. That's absolutely a key part of our whole system of government, consent of the governed. And if we don't consent, we need to tell them. But the other side of that is what you mentioned is when they're moving in the right direction, when they're doing the right thing, then we need to tell them that as well, because you can be sure that the people that think they're doing the wrong thing are going to speak up. That's just what happens most of the time. And they need to hear from us when they do the right thing. And hopefully we get the right people in the right places. They'll do the right thing more often. And we can encourage that, but it works both ways. And we shouldn't forget that. I know sometimes people get a little frustrated and tired of complaining. Well, I'm not suggesting we complain. I'm suggesting we speak out forthrightly about what they should get done, but we should do the same thing when they do it right. We should thank them and let them know, hey, you made a difference, and that's the right kind of difference to make.
I could not agree more. And, you know, this is a life lesson, and you don't learn life lessons sitting in a classroom wearing a mask. You're not learning anything because you're just sitting there. Think about this, folks. You're sitting there for 5, 6, 7 hours sometimes, these kids, because they have to take a bus and they're traveling an hour on the bus. And as wonderful as this was, there was a sad note to it also. The end of the rally, many of the people who were speaking, the MC said, everybody that lost their jobs because they won't wear a mask or get vaxxed, please stand. And almost everybody in the audience stood, and most of them were healthcare workers, doctors. They said there is such a shortage of doctors. And the one doctor who was speaking, and I'm trying to find his website. Oh, My Free Doctor is the name of his website, My Free Doctor. He explained all about COVID. He explained what it was. And he also said that he gave his patients, the minute they experienced any symptoms, he had a protocol for them, which included ivermectin. So he was giving them C, D, zinc, et cetera, whatever was necessary to build up their immune system. But the ivermectin was the additional piece. And he said he had a 99.5% success rate. So then you would wonder, why did we not know this? Well, as it turns out, the way that our laws are written, if there is a protocol that is something that you can do to shorten the time, an over-the-counter thing that's been proven, thing that's been used, if you have that available, then there is no emergency to develop a vaccine, so no funding is really available on an emergency basis. Can you imagine that, Pastor? They withheld information on two things, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, just so that they could go and produce this vaccine, because they are making over $1 million a day, pharma is making.
That's amazing, isn't it?
That is disgusting.
That's a stunning number.
Yes. And also we have a law. So here's another one for you folks that says that if 50 people die as a result of a new vaccine being administered, then the vaccine must be shelved and redone and retested. Right now, I think he said there was 27,000 people that died after taking the vaccine. So I think the people that are suing have a very good case, because there is enough evidence around. Unfortunately, the media refuses to allow it out, which is another form of censorship. The media is lying.
It doesn't make sense that we have politicized this whole business like we have. I don't know. People probably know the name Bill Maher. I know his name. Mm-hmm. I don't watch his program, never have. But he's well known as a comedian and a liberal in his politics. But he said it very well a few weeks ago. I heard a clip from his show. He said, a medicine isn't political. A medicine either works or it doesn't work. Why are we making it political? And he's exactly right. That's what's happened. And I have been hearing the same thing that you mentioned, that there are well-established protocols now. People have learned how to treat the virus, treat it early, treat it aggressively, the way other illnesses are treated with a number of medicines. And I don't know what they are. It's not my business, because I'm not a physician or any other healthcare worker, but they'll tell you that there's a regimen that they go through, and the physicians have developed this. They have a lot of confidence in it, and people get better. They don't require hospitalization. So it's actually beyond comprehension that we have made this into the frightening, terrorizing thing that we have, when we have learned how to treat it. And people need to just take a breath and to realize if the virus is not lurking in every corner, ready to jump out on you and attack you. Yes, it can be serious. And yes, you should take it seriously. And yes, if you catch it, you should get early treatment. But there is a high success rate, and you have every likelihood that you will get over it. And some people have a more serious time with it than others. I don't know how to predict that. I don't know that anybody knows exactly how to predict that. But the point is, it is treatable. And for the vast majority of people, yeah, they get better. Isn't that good news? Why shouldn't we be optimistic and sharing that positive stuff instead of the fear and the, oh dear, what might happen to me next, or what might happen to you next, or how you might be a danger to me, or I might be a danger to you. It's just been twisted all out of proportion.
Well, to me, it has become no longer a concern about the virus, which probably is at this point nothing more than a flu. And notice how we don't have any reporting on how many flu cases or pneumonia cases. Isn't that amazing? In any event, what my concern is, and what this doctor also said, so folks, please check this out, because multiple doctors have said the same thing. And they are seeing overcrowded emergency rooms. Most of these people who are coming in, and they're coming in for a variety of diseases, have been vaccinated. And he said he went through a whole a scientific breakdown, but the net result was, he was saying, was that in this vaccine, there seems to be something that if you have another ailment, it will help that ailment to grow aggressively. And therefore, he said that he expects to see a death toll in 2022, the likes of which we have never seen before. And then you listen to Bill Gates, who goes on one of his rants, and where he's telling everybody that, yeah, the vaccine doesn't work, so what? They'll just produce another one. And besides, the Earth is overpopulated anyway, and we should only have around 500,000 to a billion people. That's enough. There's too many people. We can't afford, we can't feed them. That's a lie. Folks, there's plenty of land that can be used for farming. The problem is Bill Gates and his cronies, Soros and Bezos and Ted Turner, are buying up the usable farmland. Think about that. But here, this doctor is talking about this concern and how this is going to happen and how people are being censored from talking about any ailments that they have as a result of having a vaccine. So we are, I believe, entering into very scary charted waters by utilizing a vaccine that has never been really tested. When has anybody, Pastor, have you ever bought a car without test driving it? Or didn't you have an inspection on your house to make sure that it was worthwhile?
Sure, people do that all the time.
Of course. So we're no longer allowed to test a vaccine and have a control group and learn about the test. Usually it takes, I think, 10 years for a vaccine to be tested before it's brought to market.
Well, it's a long time usually. And I think what it comes back to with all of these questions that are rightly being asked, and some of them are not being well answered, with all of these questions, it comes back to, why can't we trust people to make their own decisions in consultation with the physician that they know and trust, who can help them navigate all of this? And why do we have to make it a dictate from some government someplace or some business someplace. Why can't we trust people? And I think there's a lot of reasons, because ideology has taken over people's thinking. That's at the heart of it. But the other thing, I think about this all the time. I don't talk about it maybe as much as I should, but the whole concept of having a free people, the whole concept of liberty, the whole concept that we get to live our lives in the way that we determine is a challenge. It's a challenge because we have to get along with our neighbors. We have to trust people that we disagree with. And somebody said it very well. They said, liberty is hard. If you want an easy way, you live under some other system than freedom, than what we have. And I think we need to accept the fact that it is difficult. It is challenging. People will disagree. People will make other choices. And why isn't that okay? That's the whole point, that we are free to make our own decisions, to live our lives according to our own conscience. And the limitations we accept are those that we agree on, like the Constitution, and those limited things that sort of define the outlines of our lives. But all the rest of that stuff, we don't need to be dictated to. We need to encourage people and require people to be responsible and to take their decisions seriously, and then have the freedom to make those decisions.
Oh, absolutely. And they should have the freedom to make those decisions without being lied to. That's the thing that really gets me. To go out and throw out talking points and have nothing to back it up and just blatantly lie and ruin people's lives and do things like that and have that without consequences, that is totally disgraceful. And then you're forcing people to rely on the courts to give them an answer. And those justices, they're human, and some of them are wonderful and some of them are corrupt. You know, they are human also. Look at this poor judge of what he's being threatened. Now he has to have bodyguards because of the decision that he's making, the truthful decision that he's making based on actual video. You can't get any better than that. But some good news happened this week, and I was glad to see that also. And that was that the end of last week, he came out and he said, I'm expecting all of the businesses to continue business as usual with the mask mandate and the vax program, regardless of what the Fifth Circuit said, because the Fifth Circuit said OSHA can't make that rule. OSHA can't tell people whether they can have a job if they're vaxxed. That's not the job of OSHA. The job of OSHA is very specific. Is the workplace safe? Period. That's it. And the Fifth Circuit said, you're not following the Constitution. You can't make this mandate. Can't put it under OSHA. Not going to happen. And Biden said, oh, well, we're not going to listen to the Fifth Circuit. Well, this past week, OSHA announced that it will comply with the Fifth Circuit's court order. And the agency said it has suspended the implementation and enforcement of its vaccine mandate. And I was very glad to see that, because I was very concerned that if all of these people are forced out of their jobs, what happens if you have an emergency, which you know they will create? So we are very fortunate. What say you, Pastor?
Well, I think that's right. We need to preserve liberty in all the ways that we can. And it's really sad that the people that are decision makers like Joe Biden don't understand that they need to have respect for people and the law and not try to manipulate things to get whatever they want done. That's been going on for a long time. I remember the former member of Congress that I met several years ago, and he made the statement publicly. He said, the people you elect will do whatever they can get away with. And I think we're seeing a lot of that. And then it's sad, because we do need to give people the opportunity, and they shouldn't have to suffer because of a personal decision that they want to make. They should be allowed to make that decision.
If people actually understood the Constitution, which they don't, and they understood the law, which they don't, then they probably wouldn't do half of the things that they are arrested for, because now it has become extremely political, and that part is very wrong. I believe if we can turn over the House and the Senate in 2022, then we can still pull us out of this extreme mess that we were in. Remember, I said America is like we're going down this superhighway and we're going to hell in a handbasket down this superhighway. And we could make a right turn and get off the highway on, get onto another highway, which would get us to our destination in the same amount of time, no hassle. But we went, oops, we missed that exit. Well, further down the highway is another road, and it's bumpy, and it's a country road, and it's got potholes and deer crossings and all kinds of things like that. So you got to go slow, and you're probably going to beat up your car, and you may run out of gas, or some other atrocity might happen, but you'll still get there. Well, I think we're on that road right now, and it is not going to be easy. You know, we are the ones in charge, not they. And the road is going to be bumpy, and the road is, it's not going to be easy. But the majority of their policies don't start until 2023, which means if we can turn the House and Senate around, we can repeal the sucker, because even if Biden vetoes it, we should have a filibuster-proof Senate that would be able to override the veto. Now, that's a lot of ifs. And I'll go back to my original premise. If we keep on electing rhinos, do we ever think that anything like that would happen? What do you think, Pastor?
Well, we definitely have to elect people that share our vision and values for the country. And we can't assume just because they present themselves a certain way that they're being honest and truthful with us. We have to look at what they've done in the past. We have to look at all of their record and all of their activities, and then make the best decision. But don't fall for, well, yes, I did that, but, you know, be real rigorous with this stuff, because we have to verify what's going on, and it's too late once they're elected. So I encourage voters, be very careful, because at election time, they're going to tell you what you want to hear. And you need to make sure you're hearing the real truth from all of the candidates. No question about it.
Exactly. And then go and check their actions, mm-hmm. and then make your decision. And unfortunately, yep. we have to make our decision, which is we're at the end of the show. So, Pastor, if we could have a prayer, that would be wonderful.
Of course. And it occurs to me, this is the season of Thanksgiving. And I think both of us want to wish everybody a wonderful Thanksgiving celebration. And I think as we pray, we ought to remember all the things we have to be thankful for. Yes, there are plenty of problems, but we can trust the one who has the solution to our problems, and we can give thanks. So Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this country you've given us. We recognize that there are many problems, and we want to be a part of that solution. But foundationally, you gave us liberty a long time ago, and faithful people have passed it along to us down through the years, and we want to do our part to preserve and defend and protect that gift you've given us. So we're thankful for what we have and mindful of our responsibilities going forward. Give us grace to accomplish what we need to for our nation, for our neighbors. But in this season of Thanksgiving, we especially want to remember to be thankful for the country, to be thankful for our communities, for our friends, for our families, for our neighbors. You have given us a lot to think about and a lot to be thankful for, and we don't want to take it for granted. So today we say to you, thank you, and we pledge to you our commitment to preserve that which you've given us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you all. Hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving season. Enjoy the turkeys. I know you will. And have rigorous conversations, because that's part of Thanksgiving too. Enjoy your family. This is Karen Schoen. You have been listening to The Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance, which can be seen at goflca.com. Have a wonderful week, folks. Have a wonderful week, Pastor, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me. I'm America, yes, America.